They're going to meet you here, that after the service, you would make sure that you have the opportunity to go next door. We have an area set up where we're going to take pictures for you, and then we'll get those pictures printed off, and we'll bless you with those so that you can have a nice family picture to remember Mother's Day 2015. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. Verse 23 says, "It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command." How many parents here today would say, yeah, we have some unusual children, right? Now, unusual in the sense of this meaning of the word is different than the way that we like to describe our unusual children. Literally, what this is saying is that there was something uniquely different about this child. So they saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. "It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin." Verse 26, "He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward." Verse 27, "It was by faith that when Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, he kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible." Would you join me as we pray? Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, for examples in the Bible that speak so clearly to us today that we can look to and that we can relate to and that we can see the virtues in individuals much like us so that we can be encouraged. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit whom you've sent to comfort and encourage. And thank you for mothers. Thank you for their role. Thank you for their ministry. Thank you, Father, that you have anointed men and women to raise children and to make a difference. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, undoubtedly, Moses is probably one of the greatest men ever mentioned in the Bible. He has got to be probably in the top five, the top three maybe, greatest men mentioned in the Bible aside from Jesus Christ. There is absolutely, it's an indisputable fact that he is one of the greatest men that God has ever graced the earth with, one of the greatest leaders that mankind has ever seen. He's mentioned over 80 times in the New Testament. He's mentioned over right around roughly 784 verses in the Bible give direct reference to a man by the name of Moses. How many of you think he must be pretty important? He is somebody that God obviously had a call and an anointing on. God gave the law through Moses. God performed many signs and wonders through Moses. When you read the scripture and you read about this remarkable man of God that really up until this point, nobody in the world had ever seen anybody as used of God as this man was. And he really came from nowhere, literally. He came from the wilderness after a 40-year detour, after 40 years of being forgotten by everybody around him. He came out of nowhere and God used in a great way. God raised up remarkable leaders through this man named Moses. It was Joshua that Moses mentored and discipled for many years. And as Moses exited his life's ministry, he had poured into somebody else who could take the mantle and take the people of God to the next level. So it wasn't just that Moses was a great man of God. Moses replicated himself. And let me tell you, that is what makes great men of God great. Not what they did in their life, but what they did in the lives of others that will follow them long after they leave. Hallelujah. And a lot of times, hear me now, please, men, look up here at me. I know next month is Father's Day, but I'm going to talk about this for a moment because a lot of times we think greatness is in what we accomplish. But if we do not accomplish a legacy of leaving or replicating our faith in the life of other men, then we failed in this life as men of God. Moses is our example in this. And God took Joshua and did more through Joshua's life than what he did through Moses' life. Somebody say amen. And if you do it right, that's the way it works. You know, I'm excited. A lot of times you hear me gripe and complain about my kids, but with six kids, what opportunity I used to tease my wife when we were young, and she'd say, how many kids do you want to have? I'd say 10, and I want them to be all boys because I'm going to form my own race. And there is such truth. You have had to deal with a couple of my boys at the school, and you're thinking, thank God you did not answer that prayer, Father. No, it's so true that we replicate ourselves. We reproduce ourselves in our children, and it's a wonderful opportunity to do so. God delivered a nation through Moses. A whole nation was set free through the man named Moses. Moses was present at the Mount of Transfiguration. Several thousand years after his death, we see Moses having an impact even in Jesus' ministry. Think about that for a moment. That a man named Moses had an impact in the Savior of the world's ministry. That's incredible. He was definitely a hero of the faith. Moses was an absolute, no doubt about it, great man of God. It's indisputable, the things that we're talking about. But with that said, you can never forget the faith of the mother that formed the faith of her son. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, the faith of a mother. Hebrews 11, 23 through 27. We often talk about Moses. We often exalt Moses because of his life. But what we fail to realize is that Hebrews 11, 23, before it speaks of anything that the faith of Moses accomplished, we hear about the faith of his parents. And I want to point that out to you again. Before we hear any of the things that the faith of Moses produced, we first hear about the faith of his parents. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. You know, here's some famous quotes from great men of God. How many of you seen Kevin Durant's MVP speech last year? Oh man, was it so good. He, a basketball player, was honored with the Most Valuable Player of the Year award. And when he got up and was presented the award, he broke down this is one of the most probably idolized young men on the planet by other young men. I mean, people look up to him. And when he is presented this award, he breaks down in tears. And he says, the real MVP is my mom. She kept us off the streets. She kept us out of jail. She kept us out of trouble. She worked two jobs. And he gave the award back to his mother. Here's some things that were said about mothers by other great men of our country. George Washington said, all I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life. Think for a moment about the number of times that mothers have prayed for their children when they were left with nothing else to hope in but their faith in God. And they clung to their faith in God. And they reached out to their faith, or pardon me, to the God of their faith in hopes that He would intercede and intervene through the difficulties that they were going through. The faith of a mother is a powerful thing. Ronald Reagan said, from my mother, I learned the value of prayer, how to have dreams, and believe that I could make them come true. Everybody say, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom. In fact, you know, I, as a young kid, never really knew what it was to appreciate my mother. And of course, now that she's gone, I have made it my aim to make sure that my kids never make the same mistake. Moms are special. Dads are special too, and we're going to honor dads next month, but moms hold a special place in this world. There's a special call upon the life of a mother. You know, moms often feel these feelings. In fact, if you were to talk to most moms right now today, they would probably say that they're going through some of these feelings that are up here in yellow or in orange right now. It's easy for a mom to feel unappreciated. Raise your hand if you're a mom and you've ever felt unappreciated. I know my wife, she gets up early, she stays up late, she really goes, I mean, all day long, she just serves. And I can only imagine, because we start to expect it out of her after a while. How many of you guys are guilty of that? We just start to expect it. Hey, why aren't my clothes clean? Hey, how come dinner's not ready? Yet a woman, a mother, can begin to feel unappreciated. But let me tell you what God's word says about these things. Moms, look up here at me. All you ladies, look up here at me. It is tempting at times to feel unappreciated. But let me tell you what God's word says about a virtuous woman. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that a virtuous woman is appreciated. I want to say that to you again. It is the lie from Satan that tells mothers that they're not appreciated. God's word says that her husband honors her. The Bible says that her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Every mother, say this out loud. I am appreciated.
I am appreciated.
That was lousy, ladies.
I'm appreciated.
Hey, let's pick on the women today, Skip. Can we do that? You got my back? Me and Skip's going to pick on the women today. Do a little bit better than that, ladies. Say out loud, I am appreciated.
I am appreciated.
That still wasn't very good. You know, sometimes you got to say it till you believe it. So let's try it one more time. Say, I am appreciated.
I am appreciated.
That's a little bit better. Boy, she's getting angry. I'd take a few feet and move that way. I am appreciated. That's what we need to learn to tell ourselves. That's what ladies especially need to learn to tell themselves. I know that my wife many times has said, I just don't feel like anybody hears anything I say. Everybody just ignores me. No, it's like my voice is unheard. Let me tell you, women, what the Bible says about a virtuous woman like you. The Bible says, Proverbs 31:26, she speaks with wisdom. I want to say that again. She speaks with wisdom. Women of God, say this out loud. When I speak, I speak with wisdom. Yeah, I want to issue a challenge to all the ladies in this house today. I want you to print these verses off, write them down, and make them personal. How do you do that? This is how you do that. Instead of reading these verses, she speaks with wisdom. This is what I want you to say. Crystal speaks with wisdom. I want you to say that about yourself. Crystal speaks with wisdom. When Crystal opens her mouth, well, you better watch it, Todd. She starts doing this, you're going to be in trouble, buddy. Crystal speaks with wisdom. And faithful instruction is on Crystal's tongue. Make it personal. A lot of times women can feel, mothers especially, can feel unnoticed. Work real hard, slave away, nobody ever says thank you. How many moms ever feel that way? Listen to what the Bible says. I want to tell you what God's word says to women of God. Proverbs 31:15, she gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. What does that mean? It means that God has recognized all of your hard work. God has not overlooked it. It did not get past God. Maybe your husband didn't tell you thank you, but God the Father is telling you thank you. Sometimes a mother can feel unimportant, but God says in Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceptive. And beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. How many of you ladies today fear God? How many of you love the Lord? Then God's word says that you are to be praised. Pastor, why are you going over the top to flatter mothers today? Because the Bible says that you're worthy to be praised. Women of God are, you know, I'm going to brag on Mike for a second. I teach a class at the Christian school on Tuesdays and Thursdays like clockwork on Tuesday afternoon at lunchtime. Guess who's up? Does that bless you? It blesses me. In fact, let me tell you what you have done to me. My wife has Mondays off work, and I have made it a purpose on Mondays I'm going to eat lunch with my wife. Because of what I've seen you doing with Robin. On Tuesdays, on Mike's day off, he slips up to the school, usually brings her lunch. They sit down in the little teacher's lounge together and eat together and talk together. And it's so awesome to watch this happen. And that's men. We need to do that for our wives. But women are important. Somebody say amen. So Proverbs 31:10, ladies and moms can feel unworthy, but listen to what God's word says. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth more than rubies. Amen. Women of God are to be valued. Women of God are very, very valuable and very, very precious in the sight of the Lord. Now let's talk for a moment about the faith of Jochebed, the mother of Moses. The first thing I want to say about her faith, the first thing that I want to mention, the first thing that I think is worth mentioning, is the fact that she saw the purpose of God in her son's life. This is so awesome to me, and this is one thing that I will say mothers take the cake at. You know, I was a heathen growing up, but in my mom's eyes, I was an angel. In my mom's eyes, I could do no wrong. I can remember times when teachers would call my mother to school and I was in the wrong, and my mother defended me. She fought for me. She stood up for me because she saw the purpose of God in her son's life. She saw the goofiness in her son's life. She saw all of his shortcomings too, just like we all do, but she saw something greater that moved her to a different place than other people were willing to be moved to. She saw the purpose of God. Moms see this in children. They see God's purpose. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 2, as the story of Moses is beginning to be told, now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant. And she gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. You have to remember what is happening in the nation of Egypt at this time. Pharaoh has issued a decree that all male children, he had tried multiple things. He first tried to oppress the people through excruciating bondage, hoping that if he wore them out, that they would no longer multiply. But his plan did not work, and they started to multiply all the more. God was blessing his people. And now, in desperation, he issues a decree that all male children born would be killed, that they would be destroyed by the midwives. But the midwives feared God more than they feared Pharaoh, and they disobeyed his order. And so the male children kept growing, and the nation of Israel kept multiplying and becoming stronger. And so finally, Pharaoh took steps one further, and he commanded that all the children, that they be thrown into the river, and that they would be destroyed. And yet, when Jochebed and Moses' father, when they experienced the birth of this son, they saw that there was something uniquely, strikingly different about this young man. They saw the purpose of God on his life, and they were okay with disobeying the king's decree in a hope to fulfill God's call. Jeremiah 29:11, such a fabulous verse. The Bible says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Everybody say, God has a plan and a purpose for my children. And even though her faith had to see through the trials of the day, and let me just tell you something, you're not the first mother who had children that were going through difficulties. Here was a mother who gave birth to a child who was supposed to die. You don't think that she was going through difficulties? You don't think that her faith was being pressed? You don't think that the circumstances surrounding her was severe? But by faith, she saw through the trials of the day. Through faith, she was able to do that. Her faith saw through the difficulties that surrounded her. You know, you talk about today being a difficult day in which people to raise children in. How many of you think that it's probably one of the most difficult generations to raise God-fearing children in is this generation? It is a generation of godlessness. It is a generation of lawlessness. It is a generation where secularism and humanism, it is on the rise, and it is a generation in which Christianity appears to be in the decline. And that's the facts. Yet we know that there have been other generations in which it was difficult for people to raise children, for people to raise children to fear God and know God. But by faith, they did it. They did it. They succeeded. Her faith saw through the hopelessness. How many times of parents have we had to look at our family situation? Have we had to look at what our children were living like, where our children were going, and feel hopeless inside? Imagine how she must have felt when she realized that she was pregnant, knowing the decree that had gone forth by the Pharaoh that all children would die. She probably spent every single day praying that she would give birth to a daughter and not a son, so that she would not have to experience the agony of losing the child. Yet through that difficulty, through that hopelessness, by faith, she found hope in the Lord her God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Her faith, and this is what I love about this great mother, this great woman of God, her faith focused on the goodness of God instead of the evil surrounding her. And there was all kinds of evil present in her day. They were slaves. They were in bondage. They were being oppressed by Pharaoh. They were being forced to kill their own children. It was a hopeless situation. It was not good for them. But she chose by faith to focus on the goodness of God. What a lesson to be learned, that even in the worst of situations, even in the most difficult of times, that we be reminded and remind ourselves that God is good.
Amen.
God is good. I mean, when our kids are living like devils, God is good. When our kids won't come to church with us, God is good. When our kids are arrested and thrown in jail for things that we did not raise them to do, God is good. Hallelujah. Another interesting thing to note about Moses' mom, she wasn't afraid to stand for righteousness. The scripture says, when she saw that she had a fine child, that Moses was a unique boy, she hid him for 3 months, knowing that it could cost her life, knowing that if she be found out about, that she would pay the ultimate price. Think for a moment about what she had to resist. First thing was she resisted the pressures of the world. She watched everybody else do what they were told to do. But she chose not to do what she knew in her heart to be wrong. I want to say that to you again. She watched everybody around her, other family members, other friends, other neighbors, people in the community. She watched them do what they were told to do. But she chose to do what she knew in her heart was right, instead of following the crowd. Somebody say, praise the Lord. What an awesome characteristic. She chose to resist the pressures of the world. What else did she choose to resist? She chose to resist worry. Imagine the amount of worry that tried to grip her heart. You know, one thing that I have noticed about ladies and moms in particular, mothers can really struggle with worry. Really struggle with worry to the point where they become paralyzed by it. And then if you're a Christian mother, you begin to worry about worrying. Oh, I shouldn't worry. I know I'm not supposed to worry. Man, I'm worried that I might be worrying. Pastor Richard tells us not to worry, and I really feel like I'm worrying. Oh my, I can't let nobody know that I might be worrying. What am I going to do? Oh, I got to have a good confession of faith to say, because there's a real good chance. Am I worrying? Do you think I'm worrying? Hey, can I talk to you for a second? Is this worry? Women begin to do this stuff. And hear me when I say this. Wise women, women of God, hear me. Resist the pressures to worry.
Amen.
Resist the pressures to worry. What is worry, by the way? I'm going to tell you what worry is. Worry is meditating on a lie from the devil.
Right.
Worry is having more faith in Satan's ability to destroy you than God's ability to protect you and preserve you and bless you. That's what worry is. Women of God, lift up your hands if you say, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I lean not on my own understandings. Women of God, there's two here today. There's three. The rest of you go ahead and just faith it till you make it, okay? Lift up your hand and say, I have trust in God. Listen, if you have trust in God, then there's nothing to worry about.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, you don't understand. They're getting drunk every day. No, you don't understand that God is for you, not against you. That God loves your children more than you love your children. And God wants to do what he knows is going to bless you. God is working to bring your children to him. If you'd stop worrying about it, you would be a greater witness. You would be a greater light. You would be much more effective in your prayer life. And maybe, I'm going to go ahead and say it, and maybe it would happen a whole lot quicker.
Yes.
No. Your children getting right. Maybe it would happen a whole lot quicker. Why do I say that? Because your prayers would be more focused. Your prayers would be more centralized toward the direction that they need to be. Your faith would be a greater testimony. And let me tell you, those things matter. Look at the impact that they had on Moses, the faith of his mother. Look at the impact that it had on him. Another area that Jochebed resisted was she resisted fear. Oh, I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid that my child's going to die in this state. I'm so afraid that they're going to die in addiction. I'm so afraid that they're going to end up getting pregnant by this guy that's a deadbeat. I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid. That's the whole problem. You're in fear. And the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
As a born-again child of the living God, fear has no place in our life.
Amen.
I want to say that to you again. Fear has no place. The Bible says in the book of 1 John that perfect love casts out fear.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
She chose, number three. This is so powerful. She chose to trust the safety of her child with the Lord. And you know, this is something we all need to work on, isn't it? When it finally came to the end of all she could do, when she knew there was nothing left that she, in and of herself, could do, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, but when she could hide him no longer. See, he had gotten too big now. You know, how many of you have ever seen a baby boy that when you first saw, you thought was a baby girl? Oh yeah, she may have dressed him up in pink swaddling clothes. She may have had little dollies in his crib trying to hide the fact that he was a little boy instead of a little girl. But now he's getting to the age where it's noticeable. His cries are a little bit louder than they used to be. She can't keep him quiet. He's probably crawling by now, getting into stuff. She'd done everything. She could not hide it anymore. The Bible says she got a papyrus basket for him. She coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. When it came to where in her natural she could do nothing else, she said, okay, God, I trust you. I trust you. I believe, God, that you're going to take care of this baby. I believe, God, that even though it appears to me that this is, how many of you think that she probably thought, this is the worst thing I could do? I should at least, you know, maybe flee and raise my child. No, she had to put her faith in God. She took the baby, she placed it in the papyrus basket, and she placed it on the river. She didn't let herself worry sick. She didn't allow it to steal her joy. She refused, hear me when I say this, she refused to blame God. And I'm telling you right now, she was tempted to. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? Because she was human, just like us. And it was unfair. It was unjust. It was not supposed to happen to anybody. Nobody should have to go through that. But she did have to go through it. It was the way things were. Life is not always fair. Things happen all the time to people who do not deserve to have those things happen to them. And when they do, we have to make a decision, a conscious decision in our heart that we will not blame God. It is not God's fault. She took her stand against depression. I want to say that to you again. She took her stand against depression. You know, there were definitely opportunity for her to get depressed. How many times do you think she kissed that little boy goodbye? How many times do you think she kissed him before she placed him in the basket? You know, we read the story and we never put ourselves in that place. She probably kissed him over and over. She was probably wiping tears. She probably nearly flooded the papyrus basket with her tears. But she took her stand against depression. Oh, it wanted to get a hold of her, as it has gotten a hold of many women of God, to their demise. She took her stand against depression. She meditated on the mercy of God. And I can only picture what she must have been saying to herself as she was shedding those last tears, kissing that baby the last time on the forehead, and shoving it off the shore. She probably said what any great woman of God would say: God, I don't understand this. I am trusting in your mercy. Lord, you know, no crocodiles are going to eat this baby because you are merciful. That baby is going to land into the hands of somebody who will care for it and raise it. And you're going to bring something good from this, God. I don't know how. I don't know when. And really right now, I can't even see how anything good could come. But I know that you are good and your mercy endures forever. She believed and meditated on that. And then she prayed. And let me tell you, the scripture doesn't tell us that she prayed, but I know she prayed. I believe that she was saturated in prayer all the way up to this point. Oh yeah, how else could she have done what she did? You know what the name Jochebed literally means? Jehovah is my glory. That's what her name means. Jehovah is my glory. Crying, sending her baby off. Her name declares, God is my glory. Amen. Powerful, man. She trusted that Jehovah was still her glory. Mothers, hear me, and I want every woman in this place to listen. Your kids may be lost right now. Your kids may have wandered from God. They may have. Your kids may be drifting down the river of sin, just as Moses drifted down the river Nile. Your child might be going through difficulty. You personally may have suffered a recent loss, but God is still your glory. Come on, somebody say amen. God is still your glory. He's still your glory. There's no doubt about it. God is still seeking and saving. Do you understand that God is still seeking and saving the lost? The Holy Spirit is still in this earth. Do you get that? The promises of God still have power. The blood of Jesus still has power. The grace of God still flows from the throne of God. The Holy Spirit is looking for your child's heart. He's searching for a way to break through the darkness. We know this is true. God is still good. He's still good. It doesn't mean that you're always going to experience good stuff. But even when you experience bad stuff, unfair stuff, hurtful stuff, painful stuff, guess what? You have a God who is still good. What does that mean? It means He's going to give you comfort. Hallelujah. What does it mean? He's going to give you peace. Glory to God. What else does it mean? He's going to bring you through. And in the end, He's going to make it right. Glory to God. God still answers prayer. And you need to be praying if you're going through difficulty. And God will honor your faith in Him. He will honor your faith in Him. Hebrews 11, 23 through 27. Let's read about Moses' life now. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that when Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, he kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. I want to say something to you this morning. The faith of Jochebed became the faith of Moses. Amen. In every aspect. Every aspect of it. You see, he refused to be called Pharaoh's son, the daughter, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How many of you know Jochebed refused some things too, by faith? He chose to stand for righteousness just like his mother did. His mother, by faith, stood for what was right in front of everything that was wrong. So did Moses. He saw through the difficulties and he focused on his reward. She had to do the same thing, didn't she? She had to focus on God's goodness and focus on the reward. She had to choose to see through the difficulties. Another aspect of Moses' life, direct example came from his mother. He wasn't afraid of the king's anger. The king's anger did not weigh on him so heavy that he chose to do what was wrong. Number five, he trusted in God. Would you stand up on your feet, please? Let's just bow our heads for a moment, if you would. The faith of a mother, probably one of the most powerful things in the universe. The Bible says, now abideth three things, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Man, I'll tell you. You want to know why the enemy works so hard on you, moms? I'm going to tell you why. Because he has seen throughout the generations what the faith of a godly mother can do. Think with me for a moment about women of God in the past who chose to walk by faith instead of fear. Look what happened. Think about young Mary, 15 years of age. The angel comes and tells her that she's going to give birth to the Son of God. She had to believe in that promise, didn't she? Faith, man, brought heaven to earth. The faith of a mother is so very powerful. The enemy is constantly attacking it. God wants to turn that around today. God wants you to move from fear and worry into a place of faith in Him. He's good all the time. He's not going to fail you. And I know right now you may feel like that's not true, but I can assure you, God has proven Himself over time and time and time again. Father, I pray for every mother in this place today. Every mother that's going through difficulty in their family, I pray for them. I pray for every mother that's going through difficulty in their marriage. And God, I lift up Sharon this morning. I pray, Father, that you would flood her with your love and with your goodness. And any other mother in this place that is going through, I pray for Chris. I pray that you would flood her too, God, with your power and with your love and with your goodness. God, you are good. You are good all the time. Through you, Father, all things are possible. We know this to be true, and that is our confession of faith. Thank you for the examples that you've given to us. And thank you, Father, that you will honor every person who puts their faith in you. You will honor that faith. And so today, God, we choose to put our faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to each of you. Don't forget, before you leave, head over next door. I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to get your picture taken and have brunch. We will see you in just a little bit.